Today our Lord recalls for us the account of his overcoming of the devil in the wilderness. This account foreshadows Christ's ultimate victory over Satan in his crucifixion and in the daily manifestation of his resurrection victory every time he defends us from all evil and guards and protects us from the devil. Daily our ascended Lord fights for us. He equips us in the power of his resurrection. He trains us for battle, and he strives with us in this war so that we too may overcome our temptations and ultimately reign over them, just as he now lives and reigns to all eternity. Amen. In this sermon, we will meditate upon the first of the devil's temptations and see how Christ overcame them then and now in us by the grace of God. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, I think it's interesting, he wasn't hungry those 40 days and 40 nights. He was satisfied. But then afterwards, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God," because he just came from his baptism where God said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. If you are that one, command that these stones become bread." We're tempted in the very same way. 2020 was a major moment for me in my life, thinking about bread, thinking about food. I was out in farm country, and they were talking about turning all the hogs, all the cattle, under. They couldn't process them fast enough. All those processing plants were getting shut down. And so I was like, what do I do? So I bought a hog, you know, and stuffed my freezer full of hog meat, right? Some pig. I was worried. And perhaps maybe you're worried today with all the eggs, the kind of shortage there, and other food shortages that you find on the shelves in the store, or the train derailments and that chemical burn out in Ohio, polluted land, polluted water, fertilizer shortages, feed shortages, storms and shipping catastrophes, inflation going through the roof, the war in Ukraine, that breadbasket of that area, and that looming rumor that keeps going around of World War III on our horizon. That would mean harder times than what we are now living. In all of this, we are tempted to worry and fret about food. I mean, honestly, food and water. We can get ourselves so worked up over these things that all of a sudden, you're on your phone late at night with your wife sleeping next to you, ordering giant containers of dehydrated eggs and black beans and rice, and contemplating whether buying a wood-burning furnace is worth the cost. I haven't done that recently, but that was definitely me these past couple of years. I'm looking at my wife, not you guys. Now, prepping or storing up food for potential disasters isn't foolish. Even Solomon commends it as being a wise thing to do. "Consider the ant," he says. "They are creatures of very little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Be wise like them." So it is wise. But we aren't to store up food with worry and fret in our hearts. For then the devil has us in his jaws. We're his food. No longer are we servants of Christ, but servants, slaves to food. Slaves to worry and fret. Slaves who do not know the Father and his word to us. And this, my friends, is why God sent forth his champion at the appointed time with words as sharp as a two-edged sword to break our bonds and set us free. To the devil, Christ said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. His mouth. And with that, one small word can fell him. The temptation was over. The devil defeated. Only the word standing forever. Our God, He doesn't just win a battle, He wins the war. In our stead and for our sakes, Jesus took up the cross, and having been nailed to it, bruising the serpent's head and he bruising his heel, Jesus cries out one last prevailing cry, "Tetelestai, it is finished. The war is won." Christ has triumphed. He is risen. And now He comes in His victorious word to set us free, to forgive us of falling to temptation, to bind up our broken hearts, besought with worry and fret. And now today He equips us to participate in His victory as we take up the fight against that old ancient foe. To us, Jesus says, to equip us, He gives us His word. To us, He says, "I tell you, do not be anxious about life, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' The nations of the world seek after these things. And your heavenly Father, He knows that you need them." Our Father knows and He sees. He sees that we are besought with tribulations, with many needs, distresses, lashes, imprisonments, upheavals, hard labor, sleepless nights, and days ahead where we might not even have a loaf of bread on our tables. He knows us. He sees us. And He cares. Therefore, Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things that are needful will be added to you." Then He teaches us how to go to the Father with these requests. He says, say it this way: "Our Father, give us this day our daily bread." And then believe it, right? Because He does. Our Father delights to take care of us. It's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He provides for all our needs and will continue to provide for all His creatures unto the very end. After the flood, He promised this: "I will never again curse the ground because of man." The curse that we read about in Genesis, right? "Neither will I strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." In other words, there will always be bread. So Jesus says, do not be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious about bread or drink or clothing or any such thing. Don't even be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for this day is its own trouble. If you're in trouble today, if you're going through a tough time right now in your life, if you're lacking in bread, lacking in direction, in comfort, in companionship, if you have needs, distresses, crosses that are just bringing you down to the dust, take heart, O brother. Lift up your head, O sister. Our Father provides. People in the church had needs from the very beginning. Some suffered persecutions, others famines, and still others endured all sorts of terrors by day and by night. Just flip through Paul's letters sometime, or page through the book of Acts. From the beginning, we've been ripe with crosses and martyrdoms. And yet, our Father has always provided for us. In the day of trouble and in the hour of temptation, He gives us Christ. And with Christ, each other. We came across this beautiful truth in our Thursday study in the book of Acts. In this book it says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that anything of the things that belonged to him was his own, but the Lord's," right? And so they had everything in common. "And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And the people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the communion, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And day by day, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day the saved." My brethren, by the grace of God, we are that church. And so it is then that in your hearing today, Christ not only beats back the devil in the wilderness, He beats him out of our hearts. Gone from us are the devil's worries. Gone are his lies. Gone is the tempter himself. Our Father's got you, and you know it. In Christ, we are no longer the devil's slaves. We are servants of the Most High God, His children, reborn in the image of our champion, born from above by water and the Word, children of the Father, who live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So then, we are confident of this, that even if we should have to go without bread tonight, what does it matter? Our Father still provides. His Word satisfies and sustains us right now and forever in both body and soul. And if it so happens to be our Father's will that we die tonight, or that in a month from now we breathe our last by some kind of famine or pestilence or war, God be praised. For today our Father gives us bread from heaven. And of this bread, He says, "He who eats of this bread will live forever." "I am the bread of life," Jesus said. "Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And so, my brethren, let us not receive this grace of God in vain, but joyously gather round our Lord's table and eat with glad and sincere hearts. And being thus sustained by such immortal food, let us gladly take our places on the battlefield of this life and fight the good fight together. And behold, every temptation that we face, whether alone or side by side, every evil, every terror, by night or by day, all of these have already been overcome. Christ our champion goes with you, and we are right beside you till God's kingdom comes. Lord, preserve us and grant us the victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory.